need something way more than viral. I need something way more than viral. Gotta be something way more than idol. Careful not to get too close, I might just go.
Welcome back, Fire Tribe.
Ooh, that was a deep one.
I got deep with that one. How is everyone doing out there?
Fantastic.
I didn't ask you, I was asking out there.
I'm also out here.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Us?
How are you guys doing in here?
But the music that's still playing.
It's supposed to go. It's underneath like us.
Oh!
Dude, you don't know anything about production.
Nice, dude.
I know so much about
production. Like the video if you guys thought that was cool.
I know so much about
production. I thought that was a mistake and I was getting nervous.
Absolutely not. Dude, you don't know
that's
jack.
That's pretty cool. Welcome.
Phil doesn't understand that it's all about the vibes.
Yeah, Phil doesn't get it. Phil, some people get it and some people don't.
Which
one do you think you are?
I don't get it.
All right. We're back. I don't think we gave the date last time. Did we?
Yeah, what is today?
What is today?
Today is July 1st. If you're an American, you get a day off this week from work for July 4th. Mm-hmm. If you're not an American, sorry about it. If you're from Britain, super sorry about it because you lost that war. But hey, we're over it.
Sean, remember when I said this was about the vibes?
Yeah. Meanwhile,
Sean's like most
90,
people that play FPL.
95% of FPL is just, you know, people from the UK. So
stop the
camera. That's good.
Hey, it's okay. Your job won't care. So no big deal. No big deal. Okay. jokes aside. We're here today. We're doing our overachiever episode. We did underachievers last week. Quick explanation again. It's really just us. We all picked one guy that we felt overachieved based on mostly expected XFPL versus FPL, but some other factors in there. And we picked the guy that we felt did that. And we're going to decide, is it going to happen again or is it not going to happen again? So pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But before we do that, we're going to hop into our new and improved topics and transfers section.
It's time for topics and transfers.
Old TNT.
Pretty sweet, right? Listen, we're killing it here. We're killing it. All right, topics and transfers. So let's start with the most recent piece of news, which was João Pedro looks to be headed to Stamford Ridge. Stamford? Did I mess that up? What did I do?
Don't worry, it's all water under the fridge now, Sean.
Did I say Stamford Fridge?
That or Ridge?
I think it was Stamford Ridge, but it combined because there's an F at the end.
Stamford Bridge.
Let's let Sean have another try.
What did I say?
At the name of Chelsea's stadium.
What did I say?
You said Stamford Ridge.
Oh, Lord.
Which
okay.
I think is in Palo Alto in California.
Okay, if you didn't watch our last episode, news to you. I now have a child, and I am sleep deprived. So don't judge me. Do not judge me.
Oh, my God. You're going to never live that down, Sean. Stamford Bridge. That is proper use of that sound.
Okay, regardless.
João Pedro's
going to Chelsea. He's going to Chelsea. So Chelsea just went from Nico Jackson, who by the end of the FPL season, we all hated, to now having Nico Jackson, who's still a big talent. They got Liam Delap, who's young and very talented. And now they have João Pedro, who might be the best of those three.
I think he is.
I mean, we kind of talked about this last episode, how we think Cole Palmer's going to improve. But, like, I mean, here's a question. Chelsea, they were very erratic last year. Do we think this move on top of the Delap move, does this put them in contention for first place, do you think?
I think both of those guys are going to help them up front. I mean, I guess you could say
scoring
yes
goals
to that.
Was their biggest bugaboo.
I wouldn't project them to finish ahead of City or Liverpool and maybe not even Arsenal, but it definitely helps them, because that was a big weakness for them, because they had a long stretch where they struggled to score last year.
Yeah. What say you? You think they can finish first with these two moves? All things equal, not considering any other moves, just these two? Buffing the offense?
I wouldn't bet on them for next year, but we've talked about how young they are. If you say, will they win a Premier League in the next 5 years, I would probably put some money on that, because yeah. As they get older, as they get smarter, as they play better as a team, I think they have a lot of strong talent, speed, physicality to definitely compete.
I mean, if nothing else, give Chelsea management credit. They clearly saw what they lacked last year. I'm sure they understand that if they would have finished some of those big chances they had, they would have been much better off. They missed some of the most big chances in the Premier League last year, and they created second most. So credit to them. They are going all out to fix the problem.
But I wouldn't act like João Pedro and Delap are these two prolific goal scorers either. I think they have a chance to prove it on better team now, but it's not like they're getting, I don't know, Benzema who scored 35 goals a season before, or Suarez, you know.
But they both have the upside to be, Delap to me. I mean, he was on an awful team, and he ended up getting 12 goals on what'd they finish, second to last? Second to last, and he had 12 goals on that team. That's pretty freaking solid.
I
think he does have potential to be an elite forward.
They gave themselves more options.
Yeah.
Like, when we talked about our favorite transfers and we mentioned Delap, it was like they want somebody to come and take that job or push Nico Jackson to be better. So
now they have
three quality options. I think they're all kind of like the same level of player. They're all in the same vicinity.
Yeah.
I think João Pedro is probably the best of the three, but they can ride the hot hand. If one guy, grabs the reins and takes that job over, that's probably what they want.
You could throw all three in if you really wanted to, if they felt the need in that formation.
Well, they could.
I don't think they will.
They have a billion wingers.
They're also in the UCL, so I don't foresee them wasting all their guys' energy for the same game. But
I was going to say that with the wingers. I don't know if they're going to keep everyone, but it would be interesting to see them play like a 4-4-2, obviously a hybrid one, and you could kind of have Delap and João Pedro up top, because João Pedro is more of that technical forward, like
he can drop deeper a little bit,
and Delap kind of is that Suarez
bigger body
where he's like just, he's going to fight with everyone, he's going to be aggressive, he's going to run, and he's a fox in the box. So
he's quick.
Fox in the box. I
like fox that. In the box.
It's Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, it's a Vardy party. Okay, so that was the first piece of news. Next piece of news, we got to mention it. Phil's ecstatic about it. So frankly, Phil, I'll just let you say it.
What was it?
Oh, I know.
Come on,
I know what he's getting.
Phil,
is it Al Hilal?
Yeah,
it's Al Hilal. Yeah.
I mean, some would say Ronaldo was right when he said that Saudi is probably the fifth strongest league in the world.
Yeah,
and if anything, Al Hilal beating City proved that.
That was
totally.
Yeah, totally. That was crazy. Now the question is, does that make you worry at all about FPL for City? And in any other year, we probably all say absolutely not. It's a Club World Cup. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
I care.
Madrid, but City had a down year last year for City standards. Pep couldn't figure it out. I understand Rodri's back. I understand Haaland's back. Has Pep lost a touch? I don't want to overreact, but it didn't. That's a bad loss. It's a horrendous loss, actually.
Let me get this out of the way. It's a loss in a tournament that doesn't matter.
I know.
The money you made.
It's about last season,
though. In the
fake made-up
Saudi cash grab cup, they lost to Al whatever.
Al Hilal.
It doesn't.
I don't even know if that's how you say it.
These guys play a billion games. They just finished a grueling Premier League and Champions League season. They don't care about this. So you think PSG cares about this tournament? Anyway,
well, they showed into Miami that they care a little bit.
I could
smoke
Miami's
them.
A JV team.
Miami, they shouldn't be there. So.
Anyway, I'll get off my high horse on that one.
But yeah, I think that question was more of a joking question. I don't think I actually worry about it. But
oh no, I was taking it very seriously.
But in reality, they did have a down season for them. Pep could not figure it out. Their players are back, so we assume they're going to be okay.
I think they also, I really like what they did in the transfer window. I think,
yeah, you think?
I think Reinders is going to fit really well in that midfield. Or I probably mispronounced his last name.
Just call him Reindeer.
Love Ryan Cherokee.
Oh,
I love
Reindeer. I like
love
that.
Ran. I eat Nori.
Yeah,
so I think they're
stacked.
three really good fits for them. So I think City's going to look a lot more like City.
Yeah, Liverpool went out and bought everyone, and City said, hold my beer, I'll do the same.
Them getting Reindeer, whatever we want to call him.
We're going to call him Reindeer. That's what we're going to do. Just know that we're calling him Reindeer.
What was it, $45 million? It was an absolute steal. Because I watched him, I watched Milan quite a bit, but especially them against Madrid in the UCL, and he absolutely torched them. He's so freaking good.
He was midfielder of the year in Serie A.
Yeah, yeah.
Where does he play? What position? Because they're going to have what? Rodri's going to be back. Cherokee's going to be there.
He's like an eight. He's a box to box.
He's not a modern box.
So they're probably not going to play all three at the same time, do we think? Or do you think they're going to push Cherokee out?
They could probably roll with what, Rodri, Reinders.
We know Rodri's starting. That's the guarantee.
Rodri, Reinders, and
Guardiola needs to stop.
And you could play Phil Foden in the midfield with those two if you want.
So Cherokee comes off the bench, we think? Because he's a stud.
Cherokee on the right, Haaland and Marmoush
on the right, so he's up. Shoku. My God, what a roster.
So this actually ties into, I'm not concerned about City because they lost to
Al-Hilal.
I'm concerned about City because they have a crap ton of studs, and we have no idea who's going to play because we're forgetting about Savinho. Wow. We're forgetting about Doku.
Pep also forgot ready it.
Grealish.
I think Pep forgot about Savinho.
Yeah, we're good.
Savinho's been playing.
I know, but he didn't last season.
That's my point. Like, we're going to go into game week one, and
is this a new Chelsea?
Anyone outside of Haaland, if you're willing to take the chance on that price, and maybe a Gvardiol
definitely. He's a
Inori.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're going to know who's going to start for City, and that's my concern.
It's definitely going to be something to pay attention to because they have a good schedule to start the season too.
Yeah, they do.
Because their players, I feel like, are going to be highly owned at the start, and you're going to have to take a swing on somebody outside of Haaland. I feel like Marmoush is probably a safe bet on the left, but
I don't love Marmoush, though.
Has he been hurt?
I don't think so.
Doku's been playing, I'm pretty sure.
Doku's good, too, though. So.
But yeah, anyway, if you're going to, outside of Haaland, and with City midfield and attacking players... Yeah, we're definitely going to have to monitor who's going to get the playing time there, and I don't think we're going to know right away.
Not to backtrack too much, but like, I think the same thing goes for Chelsea. They just went from knowing Nico Jackson's the guy, whether you thought you wanted him or not, to now we have to choose between Delap, João Pedro, and Nico Jackson on a regular basis, and that sounds like a headache to me, just trying to figure out which one is going to get a full 90, because I don't know if any of them are going to get full 90s. They might keep switching them in. So that's another headache. And I think the last piece of news, this one, not as newsworthy because I think it's a little bit more of a rumor at the moment, but I did see that Isak wants out of Newcastle potentially. How true that is, I don't know, but that is the rumor right now. And it doesn't help that Newcastle's basically been rejected by every player they've offered. And guys that were on their team, like Huijsen, said, deuces, I'm out. So, I mean, if they lose Isak, they're in shambles. Well, I don't know what they do. Like, they have a decent midfield, but it all runs through Isak. Like,
I don't think he's going
to
leave.
He wants to win, and they're not going to win.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening. First of all, I think Liverpool's probably the most logical destination.
Imagine if they replace Gakpo with Isak and the rest of those guys. Oh, my God.
I don't know. My gut tells me that he's going to stay for at least one more season.
Now correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, because you would know this. When Newcastle was bought, were they not bought by a like Saudi super? So where's the money? Mm-hmm. Why is this money not, like, why are they not spending money like some of these other teams that just buy everyone in sight? Like, what is happening? Why are they not doing that?
There's the financial fair play rules. Well, so.
Man City doesn't give a crap about them, and they're fine.
Oh, it's because...
I don't want this to be a two-hour-long episode.
Let's not get into it. But City and Barca and PSG cheat.
All right. That's fine. Those are the big news topics. We'll, you know, next time we're here, we'll keep you up to date on all the transfers, all the news coming in. It's coming in fast right now. People getting traded left, right, and center.
Yeah, so check our side socials for the most updated news.
Honestly, follow our socials. Oh, speaking of that, Dave.
What?
We said it last time. We're going to say it literally every single episode forward.
Until we get members.
Remind the people about the mini league. Remind the people about the Patreon.
Yeah, so we have a Patreon page that is going to be active within probably the next 2 weeks. So pay attention to our socials. Mm-hmm. You'll see us announce that probably about a billion times. So some of the benefits, you'll get a lot of exclusive content that you won't get for free on social media, like our lineups every week ahead of time. We're going to do a differential team of the week. So if you need to differentiate yourself in your mini leagues, know who some of the lower owned good options are. We're going to post that every week. We're going to have some written pieces as well, with a little bit more of the data-driven analysis that we'd like to do and don't have time to do on the show. So you're going to get a lot of exclusive content like that. You're also going to get free entry into the Fireside Mini League, which is going to have a cash prize for the winner. We will also announce what the prizes are when we announce the Patreon as well. So free entry into the league if you join the Patreon. You can also join the league by following us on a social media platform that you don't follow us on already, and DMing us your email address, because that's how we'll add you to the league. So lots to come from us, so just keep your eyes on our social media pages.
Yep. Lots to come. And like you said, Dave, we'll give you all those things. We're probably going to end up doing top 5, top 10 lists every week that'll be ever-changing as the weeks go on. But more than anything, you're going to get our attention. We're not going to, you know, if you put something out on socials and you ask us a question, it's a good chance we're not going to see it. There's just a lot going on. If you join our Patreon, you ask us a question, FPL, just anything in general, like, we're looking at that all the time. You're going to get our direct attention. We're going to answer it for you. We're going to be in a conversation. I think the whole point of the Patreon is we want to keep growing this community, right? We want to bring people in. We want to be personable. We want to talk to everybody. So, you know, I think on top of all the good stuff that Dave said, you know, you get our attention.
Join the fire tribe.
Yeah. So join the fire tribe. Get in the fire tribe. All right. Without any further ado, time for the overachievers of the week. I went first last time, so I feel like I shouldn't have to do it
again.
Don't
worry about it. I'll go first.
Well, I didn't want you to go, though. No. Okay. It's fine. You want to run the show?
I'm kidding, Phil.
I would love for you to go first. Let's hear it, buddy.
I know what.
Who do you have?
I don't want to go first anymore.
Who do you have as your 24-25 overachiever?
24-25 overachiever. The fun thing about this guy is he could be both overachiever and underachiever.
Okay.
So you let me know, and you two let me know if you agree if he overachieved or underachieved.
All right.
Okay.
And the guy I'm picking is Mr. Rat himself, Bruno Fernandes.
Mr. Rat? Is that a nickname?
He looks like a rat.
Okay.
That's not very nice, Phil.
It's not very nice, but I mean, he's a gazillionaire. Funny. He's a stud at sports. He probably has a smoking husband or wife. I don't know. His preferences. So, yeah. I think he's going to be fine if I call him a little rat.
Kawhi liked that one.
Yeah. So, we're talking about Bruno Fernandes here. And the reason that I think he's an overachiever is because this man's team was absolutely pathetic and in shambles for the whole season.
Yes, absolutely.
He obviously was the first in goal contributions. He had 20 FPL-wise. I think it was 18, but he got 2 PKs against him, which obviously then if you score, you get like the assist. I don't know how that works if it's against you and then you shoot them if you get the assist. But there's some data shows that he got 20 goal contributions for FPL, mm-hmm. but then other sides say only 18.
Yeah, no, what you said is right.
Okay, cool. That's kind of weird by FPL, but we'll let it slide.
Just this time, though.
The second person on that list, can you guys guess who it is? Goal contributions.
Among midfielders. Palmer.
No, on United.
Oh. Jeez Louise. Oh,
Amad Diallo.
No.
Who's the best defender on that team?
Rasmus.
Okay.
It's Hoyland.
Wow. 12.
What did he have, like 3 goals?
One, for him to be second, that just tells you how bad United is.
How many assists did he have? Because he had like 3 or 4 goals, I think.
I'll tell you. Go ahead. Keep going.
It might
have
been 6-6.
Yeah, okay.
But for the second person on technically a big club, to end up with 12 goal contributions, that's just, it's almost unheard of. And I think that just shows how bad United was all season. So the reason I have Bruno Fernandes as the overachiever is because with how bad United was, he still ended up with 20 goal contributions for a midfielder. Again, he had 12 assists and 8 goals. He was only around the 8 million price, which I think for him and going into next year, I think he's going to be higher, was fairly low. And then just his underlying numbers too, he was tied with Isak on shots, which wow. I think speaks how much Bruno was in that like danger zone, and also Isak, he probably scored a lot for how much he shot. He was the number one in attempted assists with 91 of the entire league. He only scored 3 PKs, and that's lower than the likes of Palmer, Isak, and Bumo Kluivert. So it wasn't even that the PKs were kind of like driving the FPL points. He was second in final third passes amongst all players. First was Gvardiol, which is surprising, but makes sense with how City play. So he was just consistently an attacking threat. He was consistently the focal point for an absolute shit show of a team. So I think for him to end up with those 20 goal contributions, and overall I think he was 11th in FPL points, shows that I think he did overachieve. He could have done much worse and no one would have bat an eye, because, again, not to beat a dead horse, United were struggling so much. So I think that's why I have him as an overachiever. But obviously, with him having 91 attempted assists, tied with these yeah. shots in the 90s, you could also think that he underachieved because there was opportunity for him to get a lot more assists and goals.
Yeah, and not that it's his fault, but that price tag was hefty for what he put up. But again, that's not his fault. Like, he doesn't decide his own price tag.
The expected numbers don't take into account who you're passing the ball to.
That's the thing. Like, Bruno exceeds as a very creative player when he has good players around him. And when he doesn't, like, he's just, it's like if Rodri had a terrible roster around him, like, you're not even, he's going to be bad, right? Rodri doesn't necessarily score a bunch of goals or anything. I know they're different. I'm just saying, like, I just feel like he needs a good team around him.
Again, it's five goal contributions less than Palmer. Like,
who we also thought underachieved. Yeah.
No, I mean, the way Phil put it, like, it's a miracle that he finished as the sixth best midfielder
yeah.
on that disaster of the United point. Season.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would assume you're in on him this next season, Phil.
So here's the tricky part. I think with United, we're falling in the same boat as, like, Chelsea, City.
Just adding players.
If they have Cunha and
Bumo.
And Bumo, no doubt, real.
And Ahmad back real healthy. Life,
he's going to be amazing, and he's probably going to kill it for the team. But outside of him being the main set piece taker and PKs, there's a lot of goals and assists to share on that team if those guys join. So I don't know if he's going to outperform this year.
That goes to my point that I made with you when we did our transfer talks with Cunha. We said Cunha before the Mbeumo trade, we had him at our second best transfer at the time because Mbeumo wasn't there. Okay, add Mbeumo, add Cunha, Ahmad's back healthy, Fernandez. That's a lot of mouths to feed.
Guys, they only scored...
Yeah, with two forwards combined for 7 goals.
They only scored 44 goals last year.
Yeah, they've now added two studs.
Yeah, that's just going to raise the level of all of their attacking players. Like... If Bruno can get 12 assists passing the ball to Yumi and Phil, how many assists is he going to have when he has real players around him? So
yeah,
I get what you're saying. Like,
no, that's fair.
They might steal a goal here or there, but like, I'm pretty confident Bruno's going to have more than 20 goal contributions this next season.
I'm actually, I take it back. I am with you on that. He is going to benefit greatly. And Bumo and Cunha are going to be the ones that are maybe going to have a regression because they're going to take stuff from each other. But to your point, Bruno is going to exceed because he just got those two guys added to the team. And those are goal scorers. And that's what he needs. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm with that. So, yeah, we're good there. So, Bruno, you overachiever, and you think he's going to – I think we all probably agree he's probably going to do better next year.
I think he's a guy definitely to keep on your radar for game week one.
Next year is going to be a very different year for Manchester United players. Last year we had Bruno, who people tried to get and it didn't always work out, and then we had Ahmad for a few weeks that was about all we got out of Man U last year.
Season for you guys.
So
I'm happy for you.
So it should be. They should be at least fighting for a top six spot. If they're not, then I don't know what is happening. I don't know what else you can do at that point. New coach, two new studs, two and of the best EPL players. I know, Cunha can suffice, I think. But you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Dave, would you like to go next? You want me to go? What do you think?
I'll go.
Okay, I wanted to go, but that's fine.
Too bad. My guy, it's a very simple explanation. I feel like a lot of guys overachieved on this team, but I'm going to go with Anthony Elanga. I went a little off the board. I went with one of, like, he was a like nice differential pick at times last year. But so he had 153 points on 136 XFPL. He didn't overachieve in the goal department, but he had 11 assists on 5.2 expected assists. He was third amongst all midfielders in assists. He was 33rd in expected assists. So there's your overperformance. And we talked about a lot on the show, like his teammate, like Chris Wood, Morgan Gibbs-White, they were all kind of defying their underlying numbers with how Forest's season went last year.
Yeah.
Anthony Elanga only created 8 big chances. And so I took a look. Now remember, he had 11 assists. Only 8 big chances created.
Nice.
Every other midfielder in the top 30 for assists this season had an assist total that was lower than their big chances created number. The only guy that was higher was Anthony Elanga.
Yeah, that's the story of Nottingham Forest. I love that.
Now that's real life assists. He had a couple more FPL assists because I think he drew like a couple penalties. That does add in two more guys into that list. One of them is his teammate, Morgan Gibbs-White. He was 25th in attempted assists. He 31st in touches in the opponent's box among midfielders. So it wasn't like, you know, I talked about Semenyo on the last episode. It wasn't like he was getting into good positions and the numbers weren't there. We saw how Forest played. It was a lot of counterattacking, a lot of games, so they were pretty comfortable not having the ball. And so I think this isn't like a surprise pick by me to say that I don't think he's gonna reproduce these numbers.
No.
I don't think Forest's performance offensively is sustainable. I think they're still gonna be a pretty solid defensive team. They had 58 actual goals last year on 51 expected goals. So as a team, they overachieved.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And they overachieved, and they were still only 15th in the Premier League in goals scored as a team. So I don't think it's repeatable. I think we started to see that in like the last 10 games or so with Forest when they were pretty much in a Champions League position the whole season, and then they kind of fell off at the end.
The owner had to come out and scold the coach on the field.
Yeah. Then factor in, he's rumored that Newcastle are interested in him.
I was just going to say, remember how I said Newcastle, no one wants to go there? Yeah, he also didn't want to go there. But now they just read, they put an improved offer in for him. Yes, so they might get him.
But if he goes to Newcastle, he's going to be competing for playing time in two positions. He's going to be competing with Gordon Murphy, Harvey Barnes.
I think he's definitely better than two of those guys.
I don't know about that. But I don't think he's going to get more minutes than he got last year at Forest, where he was pretty much a regular starter for most of the season.
It'll be a better team, though.
Of all the budget options that you're considering at the start of the year, I know Forrest's schedule is pretty good early on, too, but he's not one of the guys that are going to be on my radar.
Not one of the guys. Absolutely not.
So, sorry to pick on you, Anthony Elanga. I went a little off the board with that. But
it's a good shout.
I wanted to pick a Forrest guy. I had a feeling that you might pick a Forrest guy. Yeah, I picked a different one.
That's funny. Yeah, no, we're on the exact same page, and because of that, I'm going to give you a Fireside certified. Oh, because I agree with that. And
you're giving those out way too easy. Like,
listen, candy. We just got the fun board, and I'm overusing it. I'll slow it down. I'll slow it down in the future, but I'm having fun. the power's getting to me.
Yeah, you do.
With great power comes great responsibility, but I don't give a crap, Uncle Ben. So on to my pick. Dave kind of teased it, and I'm sad. I think I'm sad today because choo-choo, this is my stop. Boys, this is my stop.
Oh, I get it.
My stop.
Getting off at Stamford Ridge.
No, it's my stop on the Chris Wood hype train. If you followed us last season, I don't know how to stop this thing. I'm just going to let it go for a second. Just listen to the train. I'll figure that out 1 week. Don't worry about it. Choo-choo. We're coming in the station. I'm still going. No, we're going to wait it out. I'll fix that. Don't worry.
It's your stop.
I mean, it's a long way from Nottingham to Stamford Ridge.
Okay, it's over. Okay, I've reached my stop. No, Chris Wood, I was not hype train all season last year. And before we get into this, I do want to give the man all the credit in the world. 33 years old. Coming off the best season of his career, you could say he had one season where he had 27 goals, I think, but that was in the championship. So in a top five league, this was his best season. Best finish for Nottingham Forest since 94-95. And frankly, we thought they were going to do better. They fell apart at the end a little bit. But credit to him, great season. But the stats, right? The stats for Chris Wood. He finished fifth in points, 200. Fourth in goals, 20. He had 3 assists, so nothing to write home about on 22, and he had 22 attempted assists, right? He had 68 shots. 35 of those were on target. So he hit the target 51% of the time. And of those shots on target, he scored 57% of the time.
I feel like that's high.
57% expected goals was 0.42, expected assists 0.08. Again, we know he's not an assist guy, so we don't really take that into account, but I mean that 57, immediately you hear that and you're like,
number one
of what?
Shots on
shots on target to scored
conversion.
Yes,
probably. A few defenders here and there.
Yeah, so that's where you start to, you hear that number and you're like, oh wow, that's pretty crazy. Yeah, so he finished fifth most when it came to over his XFPL. He was 19 points over his expected FPL. That was the fifth highest. If you just go purely based on XG, he finished 11th, right? So we're talking how high he finished points-wise, goal-wise. But then you look at his XG, he was 11th. That's not terrible, but it obviously shows that he overperformed a little bit, and that starts to worry you. Guys, he finished behind Solanke, Nico Jackson, guys that you start to say, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
In shots, he ranked 22nd. Versus top five goal finish. His goal percent, when we look at guys with 20-plus shots on target, so we're looking at only guys that had 20-plus shots on goal last year.
Mm-hmm.
We remove the goalies, we remove the defenders. Basically, that's, you know, none of them had 20-plus. Puts him, take a guess. Take a guess where that puts him, that 57%. Where does that put him in the rankings?
Second?
First.
That would be first, and it's not even close. It's not even close. Most forwards, right? So I went in, I did a little bit of digging. They finish around 30 to 40% for that shot on target percentage. Haaland, he finishes on average 40 to 45%. We consider him one of the best finishers on earth, right? 40 to 45%. Kane at his peak for Tottenham, 35 to 40%. Salah, he's around 30 to 35%. And the average EPL player, 30%. Chris Wood finished 57%. So it's just, obviously it's not sustainable. It's just so unsustainable. We said it all year, but when you really start to look at it, you're like, oh my God, this is potentially never going to, you might not see it again, right? The odds he can repeat that, 20 goals on 35 shots. So I did the math and I said, okay, let's put him next season. Let's say he finishes slightly above, like in that Salah range. Let's say he finishes at 35%, right? So that's right in that Salah range. He would have a 0.61% chance next season to score 20 goals on 35 shots on target. If he finished the same way Salah finished, he would have less than a 1% chance to do what he just did.
I'm in.
Count me in. So I'm saying all this because it's just unlikely. It was a clear overperformance. I've thrown a lot of numbers around. Moral of the story is he's going to be 34. And a lot of what happened was probably a little bit of luck.
Yeah. Good run of finishing.
Yeah, I think. But here's the question, right? Here's the question we need to ask ourselves. Do we think that Nottingham Forest next year, or in general, is Nottingham Forest closer to the team we saw at the end of the year? or the beginning of the year? Which team do we think they're closer to?
End
of the year.
I think they're a mid-table team.
Yeah, exactly. The team we saw at the end is who Nottingham Forest probably is.
Probably closer to the end. They're pretty bad at the end.
I think that's probably who we're going to see this upcoming season. And not only that, but you have guys like Alanga, who, if he stays, we just talked about him, he could fight for that spot. I'm at a point with Chris Wood. I'm not just worried about him not scoring. I've already seen people talking about, oh, Nottingham Forest is a great schedule. Could it be a Chris Wood time again? First of all, they get Brentford at home. I think that could be a loss. Crystal Palace away, I think that could be a loss. West Ham home, I think that could be a draw. Arsenal away, you assume that's a loss. And then they get Burnley away, should be a win. Sunderland should be a win, right? So easily, you could see them going, what, 2 wins, 3 losses on a draw? Like, that wouldn't surprise me at all. And I'm at the point where I'm thinking he might not start 90 minutes for most of the season. Like, I'm at a point where I don't see him being a 90-minute starter for the majority of the season, whether it's injury or he's just he's not going to do what he just did, and I'm not going to fall for the trap is where I'm at with it. Like, I know I'm maybe going over the top, but
no,
I think it's an absolute trap to think that Chris Wood's going to be anything remotely close to what he was last year.
I think to summarize your hate towards him,
it's not hate. I love him. I just want warning people
is he's not a game week one lock, and he probably won't be on that.
I think he's a Welbeck. I think he's going to be in a Welbeck range next year where you pick him up on a random week because you're like, that's a good matchup. I truly think.
PK's help, though.
I don't know if he's going to get the PK. White is an up-and-coming star on that team.
I could see people having him on their teams early because their schedule's good and seeing if he can kind of recreate some of what he had last year. But
I agree. That's what's going to happen.
He's not somebody I'm targeting at. I said last year, regression comes for everyone at some point, and he had 2 goals in from game week 26 on.
Yeah, I mean, heard all the numbers. 0.61 chance happened at the end of the year. That's the number you got to remember. All the other numbers I gave you, 0.61% chance of him doing what he did again if he's an above average EPL finisher this year. So it's not going to happen. I'm not interested in him. At the start of the season, I know a lot of people are going to be. Go for it. I'm warning you that I'll put you know, my reputation on that. I don't foresee it going well. You can come back to this. Come back to this. The numbers are there. If he does it, listen, I'll put my very small the reputation.
Sparkling
reputation. Sparkling reputation. No.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you, Sean. Yeah. I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah, 100%. It's a great take. Certify that. We each get it certified today.
You got to say the words, though.
That's Fireside certified.
No. You got to say, that's Fireside.
Sean, that's Fireside.
Certified.
Oh, God.
It's like that.
Oh, God.
It's pretty simple. You'll get used to it. Don't worry.
Probably
we're doing big things.
Probably here. Not.
We're making
big things here. We're doing for big things. Viewers like you.
For viewers like
Thanks
you.
Thanks for watching.
So.
That's it.
So it sounds like we're kind of out on 2 of the overachievers from last year and
very
probably in on the third one.
Yeah, I think that's consensus. I'm definitely in on Bruno. We are in on Bruno, I think.
I think so.
And we are out on the Nottingham Forest boys, Alanga and Wood, mainly because Forest is not going to have that season again. We do not think.
Agreed, Sean.
Agreed. Yeah, so that's it. Another great episode. Another great episode. We'll be back next week.
Will we?
Probably talking transfers. Yeah, we'll be talking transfers. A lot of things are moving.
One more thing to note, since I mentioned the Patreon earlier, if you liked the overachiever, underachiever section and our thoughts on them for next year, one of the first things on our Patreon is going to be a deeper dive into some more players, some guys that we think underachieved and overachieved last year, and our thoughts on what we foresee for them in the coming season. So, something like that is what you will find on the Patreon. So, like we said earlier, keep an eye out for that announcement.
That's a good point, Dave. And like, you know, the math that goes behind getting some of these numbers, you know, that'll all be included, right? Understanding kind of how, rather than just hearing us say the number to you, you can see how we came up with it. You know, gives you the sauce that's underneath. And I don't know where I'm going with that.
You need sleep.
I know, man. It's been a lot. It's been a lot. But I'm loving it. I'm loving it, and I'm so excited to be back. So excited to be back. I can't wait. Prices come out soon. When prices come out,
yeah,
we're hitting the ground running. Be here. We're going to be doing mock drafts. We're going to be doing our top. We're going to be doing our ratings.
Ratings.
Top five, top 10 in
top
every
five,
position.
Top 10.
And... What? And it's going to be a lot of good stuff. So just keep coming back. Stay tuned. We appreciate everyone out there who listens, everyone out there who watches. If you are watching on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe on the videos. Really appreciate it. We want to hear from you. Find us anywhere you find podcasts.
Yeah.
And follow us on our socials, Instagram, X,
Twitter,
down there. Yeah, and I think with that, we'll be back next week. And, see you.
See you.
Bye.